Africa. People keep on asking me my fucking kick.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal.
Well, welcome out and abouters. Welcome to this very sunny Tuesday afternoon. Nice and warm out there. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Also streaming on KYRS.org. All around the world, you can listen to us, and I'm sure people do. I am very excited. I have Pia Hallenberg in the studio with me today. Hello, Pia.
Hello. How are you? So nice to be here.
It's so good to have you here. I feel like we've been two ships passing in the night continually.
Something like that. Yes. There never was like a good occasion, and this seems like the right occasion.
Yeah, I agree. I've got, Pia, one of the things that we do, we've been doing for like, geez, the last, I can tell you, the exact 15 weeks, is I've been reading from On Tyranny. Not just a little bit. Timothy Snyder's book, which I know you're well acquainted with, and but when we do this, we have to cue up some appropriate music for it, and we'll do that right now. Number 16: Learn from peers in other countries. Keep up your friendships abroad, or make new friends in other countries. The present difficulties in the United States are an element of a larger trend, and no country is going to find a solution by itself. Make sure you and your family have passports. All right, that was a quickie reading. And yes, and it's, you know, I'm always amazed at how things kind of come together, always apropos. Because, Pia, you are originally from Denmark.
I am originally from Denmark. I jokingly say I came over here as a child bride. It's not entirely true, but I moved over here in 91 when I was 25 years old. So I've been here for, what is that, almost 30 years, 40 years?
Yeah.
I can't do that. It's more than 30 years.
A lot more than 30 years.
A lot more than 30 years.
Yeah.
Started out in Washington, D.C., which I love. And moved to Spokane in 94.
The Washington, D.C. of the Northwest, they call it.
I've never heard that's a good one. They should pay you money for that.
Now, you know, it's funny because On Tyranny, this was something I also, that Timothy Snyder said, that I thought very interesting. If none of us is prepared to die for freedom, then all of us will die under tyranny. Which almost sounds like something a founding father would have said and not a professor from the 21st century. But that's kind of wild, isn't it?
Well, but isn't that like what they say? If you don't stand for anything, you fall for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing. We have to, at some point, I believe we all reach a point where we're like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to stand up and tell people how I feel about things.
Right. It's funny, I'm sure in your formation as a kid, a lot of that is about love of your country and being a good person and formation and all that. Really? Not so much really. Denmark.
You know, Danish culture is almost the opposite of American culture. I mean, in Denmark, it's changed. Okay, it's changed. There's a Danish person out there listening going, oh, she's full of fairy tale stuff. But yeah. I'm really not. It has changed. I go home a lot. I kind of know what's going on. But the focus in Danish culture is always on the group. It's never on the individual.
Right.
You're not supposed to stand out. You're not supposed to be too smart, too bright, too wealthy, too anything. We're all supposed to like focus on the group. So when I moved over here, it was very different, especially when I went back to school, to be in a at a in a school system where it was all about being the best.
Oh, yeah.
So and if I was the very, very best, that was the best place I could be. And yeah. It was completely opposite from what I came from.
And I guess that's not where I was going to say that. And when I was a kid growing up, that it was really about a valuing of treating people right. There was there were certain moralities, no matter what your religion was, mm-hmm. or if you had no religion, but there was like you would treat people well.
Yeah.
You would be a kind person. Mm-hmm. You were proud of your country, but you were proud of your country in a way that you felt like you had a duty towards the whole, the group. And I think that, you know, that's something that I think is kind of lost now. I could think in a way, I don't know if it seems corny. I keep coming back to honor.
Yeah.
You know, and it just seems to me that, you know, we voted in this person who has no honor and in fact is proud of not having honor and is proud of saying that, you know, his folks say that empathy is a bad thing now. Mm. And, you know, if you basically try to live like Jesus tells you to live, then you would be called woke.
Yeah.
Or virtue signaling, you know, and it's like, this is a really weird, this is a weird time.
I do think there's a connection between a country electing a person like this with these values and also this sort of lack of focus on anybody else.
Yeah.
There is a higher level of focus on the individual in this country. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
And also we can't forget that the United States is a superpower. So everybody has what I sort of refer to as superpower mentality because, you know, you have the nuclear bombs and stuff. You can take people out if you want to.
Right.
Denmark is a tiny, itsy bitsy little country. And, you know, we don't have any nuclear weapons. We have to get along with people. We don't really have a choice when it really comes down to it. So there's just a difference. But I think what has been lost in the United States, in my humble opinion, over the last 30 years, is a sense of collective.
Yeah.
Civic organizations have been struggling for decades.
Lodges
like the Kiwanis, Rotary. Nobody joins anything anymore. Bowling, you know, handball, whatever it is. I think that there's a sense of collective that's been lost, and I don't know. I don't know how a country builds that back. I'm not sure. I mean, resistance, certainly, what is it they say? The biggest unifier is an outside enemy, right?
Yugoslavia.
Yeah, so if you can agree that you have an outside enemy or you have an inside enemy that you all want to take down, then that's a unifier, but it's kind of a sad one, right?
It is, but I kind of feel like, in a way, He has unified us in so many ways. I mean, if you're a veteran, you're standing with LGBT people. You're if you're a retired person, I mean, a teacher, a laborer. If you're an honest cop, I mean, it's all these people. We're standing together because we're seeing this terrible thing happening right now.
Well, and I think for me, it was more. I was a reporter for 20 years, and I've always been on the side of the, you know, the outcast or the downtrodden or whatever, like all other reporters. You know, I wanted to save the world. But I couldn't participate in anything as long as I was a working journalist because my paper wouldn't allow that. And so it was, I've just found my civic legs over the past couple of years because I really couldn't participate. I helped a lot of people, but I never told anybody.
Because you worked for the Spokesman Review for quite a long time.
Yeah, 13 years. The last 13 years of my career was at the Spokesman. And it just was not, you were not allowed. And I understand why, but I couldn't keep my fingers out of things.
It must have been really hard in a way because you are constantly as a reporter digging for the truth, right? And so you're having this truth confront you all the time. And when you're confronted with the truth, and lately I've been playing with the idea of maybe honor is nothing but truth tempered with empathy enacting on that. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what honor is. But I mean, like, that would be really hard, that you would have this, you know, it'd be hard on your system, I would think, that you wanted to do this.
But I think what I was able to do, and I mean, now I'm thinking, can I come up with an example? I don't know. But what I was able to do many times was connect people. So, you know, I would write one story about one person who is struggling with one issue, and then write a story about an organization that's working on that issue. Oh. And I would be able to connect the two.
Oh, that's cool.
And just send an email and be like, hey, remember we were talking about this. Here you go. Here's a resource.
Yeah.
I did that all the time. Whether anything came of it or not, I really have no idea. But sometime in December of last year, I decided that I had to organize a women's rally in Spokane. And I was, it's not my first rodeo, as they say,
yes,
but it's still terrifying. And I knew from experience that there were other women's groups who had done rallies in the past. And I called and emailed everybody because I was really hoping somebody else was doing it. And I would have said, oh, I'll come help you. You know, I didn't want to be the person. I have a small business. I write for myself. I didn't want to piss off my clients. There's a whole different level of impact once you come out in a protest sense, right?
Yes.
But I took a deep breath and I was like, what's happening in this country right now is bigger than me.
Yeah.
And I can't, if I don't do something, I won't be able to live with myself. So I did that together with some other women, and that's how I got connected with Pride, actually, because Matthew called or emailed or something, and he was like, do you have anybody running the sound system? And I was like, sound what? I mean, I had no clue. I would have had to rent something, right? I did not know what to do. And so that's actually how I got connected with Pride.
I remember that. I remember I was there, and actually I played clips of you on the radio.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was something else. There's so much, mostly for me, I can only speak for myself. Like when you organize things, I'm mostly worried about people's safety.
Yeah.
And I live in a country where people get shot all the time, right? Randomly in public.
Right.
And that's what keeps me awake at night. I'm mostly concerned about other people's safety.
Well, and you know, and going back to the Timothy Snyder thing about, you know, none of us are prepared to die for freedom. You know, and my job, one of my jobs was, I was in the Air Force, and B-52s, and my job was to supposedly kill for freedom, but also to die for freedom.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it's an interesting time to be alive, because those of us who take stuff like this seriously, it's real now.
Oh, it is.
It's really real, and and more so than ever before, which I think is the time, you know, like I look at our Baumgartner, you know, I think he and I have similar kind of formation, I would say.
Probably.
And faith formation.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could be a hero right now.
Yeah.
He could be a hero to the faith. He could be all these things, but no, he's going to go down the safe, what he thinks is the safe route until there's like the Hague comes up or something like that. And then he'll be held accountable for supporting, you know, somebody who's destroying our Constitution.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, I don't want to be overly dramatic about the safety of people and all that, but it was a decision that I had to make in my head. I had to be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stand up there and we're going to make this happen. And I'm going to continue to do that as long as I can.
Did you get any pushback after you did that at all?
No.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Actually, I gained a client or two, and because I was worried that I have a couple of fairly conservative sort of bank type clients, and I was like, ugh, shit, they're not gonna like this, right?
I gotta hang the dump.
Oh, there we go. So I was a little concerned about that, but I think there are. Have I lost some connections? I have. But it's also because I don't want to support somebody who supports this administration.
Yeah.
I always voted with my money, right?
Right.
So if I'm buying services from you and you suddenly have a Trump flag flying in front of your business, I'm never going in there again.
Yeah.
And I made the same choice. I just chose the other side, you know. I was like, I'm going to be on the side of the LGBTQ community and the liberals and the Democrats. That's my side.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to deal with that, well, then too bad, because I've always done that. I will not buy anything from someone who doesn't agree.
Yeah, I read a book about, I used to do freelance writing.
Oh, yeah?
As I worked for White Runkle.
Oh,
and
nice.
I freelanced for them when I was working at Gonzaga, and then I wound up working for them. And then when I went to the fire department, I was still freelancing. And I found that I actually gained clients too, because you find that you are, they get to know who you are.
Yes.
And you know, it's a fine line to cross as far as, like, you know, whether you put campaign signs outside your business. I mean, all that stuff. But for me, I'm the same way. Like, if I see somebody, I just say, if they have a Trump sticker or something, I go, that's not a trustworthy person.
This is not for me.
I mean, I could say, I mean, it'd be one thing to disagree with policies, but it's like, if you are part of this death cult now, I mean, truly it is.
It is. I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah. And it's like,
when I'm nervous, right?
I know, but it is. It's a death cult. And if you are a part of this, you can blame that you get a steady diet of Fox News and that for, you had no idea these things are going on. Like, I remember watching this farmer on YouTube who was going to lose his family farm because of what Trump was doing in the budget and stuff like that. But he's like, well, and he'd been really pro-Trump all this time. But now he's like, well, nobody told me. It's like, you know what? It's not, if you're watching something that continually lies to you because it makes you feel good, that's not on them. That's on you.
That's on you. Yeah.
You know,
but there's also, I mean, part of this whole discussion is also about being authentic, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I've hammered home for heaven knows how many clients. So don't pretend to be something you're not.
Right.
And then I look at myself and realize that I was kind of doing that, right? Because I was like, oh no, I'm not going to upset anybody. But there's also something freeing about being, well, this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I just, I think it's going to be a long 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, when I say I don't want to buy services or support somebody who is supporting Trump, I'm really not helping the healing of the country. You know, I'm sort of doing, right. I'm helping the polarization. And so that bugs me a little bit. But at the same time, I also know that money is where it's at. And and let me tell you, I'm not going to support that. I just won't do it.
For me, it's just a complete trustworthiness issue.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, if I was going to have surgery done and you showed up with a maggot cap for the consultation, I would say, we're not doing this.
Thank you.
Yeah,
see you later.
I think there's
have
something
fun. I'm out of here.
Something wrong with you.
Where's my clothes?
So you worked for the spokesman. Did you do any writing before that? Was that?
Yeah, I was, my first 6 years I spent at the Inlander. I was the associate editor of the Inlander.
Oh,
I became
okay.
the associate editor pretty quickly. I was a staff writer. I covered politics, city hall, elections, all kinds of stuff. And I also had some editorial responsibility. Like, I had to fill the news section every week. And so that was pretty cool. And then the spokesman basically poached, they poached me when I'd been at the Inlander for 6 years. And they hired me as the features editor. Which was a little funny because I am not a pop culture person. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you maybe what my favorite movie is, but I could not tell you who was
or
the main actor, who was the lead,
or
what year was like, oh, yeah. no.
Who's the director?
I absolutely suck at trivia.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing. And so I tried to talk them out of hiring me as a features editor. I was like, this is not going to work out. But back then, there was a fabulous staff. There was a fantastic staff,
yeah.
And it was really cool. So that was my starting point at the Spokesman.
Do you still read the Spokesman
every day?
Yeah, me too. I get it.
Yeah. The paper version. We still get the paper.
Same here.
And sometimes we look at each other and we're like, ugh.
It's so funny sometimes.
But I will never let it go.
Yeah, same here.
Because I think. Not to pick, I don't want to pick on the Spokesman or the Inlander or anybody, Range or anybody, but local journalism in this country is having a really, really hard time.
Yeah.
And it's getting to a point now where I hear people say, well, I didn't know that was this weekend or when did they vote on that or what happened? And it's simply because your quality local news is just getting smaller and smaller and you're getting less and less and less and less.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you will be missing things.
Yeah, and you're just so inundated by social media.
Who wants to look at that?
Right? Yeah, it's just so much.
But it's really the other side of that is that, you know, people who are trying to get the word out about something we're essentially all self-publishing.
Yeah.
You can't count on the paper or the TV stations to cover whatever it is you're doing like you could 10 or 20 years ago. It doesn't happen anymore. The staff is not there. You know, I'm like, well, who's watching the budget? Who's watching City Hall?
Yeah.
Which crime stories do I hear about?
Right.
Because I certainly don't hear about all of them. And by the way, what was that fire down the street? You know, nobody tells me what that was, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that.
Well, you know, this is more of a national story, but the Los Angeles protests that Trump has sent troops in for all that. How have you been following the coverage of that very much?
I have been following the coverage because my son lives just north of LA.
Okay.
And so I have been following the coverage, but not, I don't watch a lot of TV. I read newspapers and I like to read newspapers in Europe when they talk about American events.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a different perspective. And so one of the European papers I read today said that, you know, Trump sent in first the National Guard and then 700 Marines, I believe, 800 Marines.
Yeah.
Two of the European newspapers said that most of the protests were in one spot and it was somewhere around 120 people that were protesting.
Yeah.
So it's a complete overreaction by the federal government.
They don't even know what they're doing. And I heard that they aren't able to feed these troops.
I saw some pictures of that.
They're so lame brain. That's the only thing we've got going for them, for us. They're evil, but they're so stupid.
Yeah.
I've got to do my 20 minute after the hour stuff. And then we'll come back.
Okay.
So I got to play some music while I...
Do that.
And we'll play a little Sly and the Family Stone while I load up my underwriters. Here we go. In vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m., Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Out and About receives support from the Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture. The MAC presents Samurai Sunrise Sunset through June 1st, 2025. This exhibition features armor, weaponry, and personal items of Japan's samurai class. Located at 2316 West 1st Avenue in Spokane's historic Browns Edition, more information is available at northwestmuseum.org.
Support for Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart.
Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Unitarian Universalist Church of Spokane, a vibrant liberal religious community welcoming persons of all ages, races, ethnicities, and sexual preferences to celebrate shared values and embrace all spiritual perspectives. The church offers two Sunday services as well as children and youth programs. Information available at uuspokane.org and 509-325-6383.
Hey, hi, it's me, Aunt I. You can join me right here on KYRS every Wednesday night from 10 to midnight for the Electric Bender, where you will hear the very best of electro rock, electro hop,
here we go,
and electro pop. Each week, we will take a journey through the genres of electronic music. Who's ready for the bender?
KYRS wants your brand new car! Well, not really. Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227.
Honk, honk!
The National Runaway Safeline is a communication system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
We are back. The computer took a mind of its own. It started loading up music to play, but sorry, computer. Sorry. Pia and I are going to talk.
You're not in charge of me.
That's right. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. No. We'll welcome you as our overlord soon, but not yet.
Not yet.
So, you know, we were talking a little bit about you stood up to do the women's march thing, and now you're involved in... there's two events, but I think they're both kind of, there's the same thing, but different aspects of it. So starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the Pride Festival, mm-hmm. we'll be doing the Stonewall, yeah. which is also part of the No Kings, deal. So
the Stonewall rally, which is really what is there.
Yeah.
It started as a little bit of a pie in the sky dream that we could do an event that would really unify people. And so we have a pretty impressive lineup of speakers. It's just 1 hour.
Right.
It's going to move really quickly. But we have everybody from high school students to you.
I'm the opposite of a high school student.
To the bishop, to people who are going to talk about being two-spirit, and people are going to talk about immigration, but it's going to move very quickly.
Yeah, I've got 3 minutes, so hopefully everybody does 3 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
I had to whip out the other day at the meeting. I was, because we have to fit in a slot. You know, there was music before us and music after us. So none of this, we're not going to do that.
Oh, you can see people's eyes sometimes when they start getting the cheering.
Oh.
And it always worries me when they don't have a script. To me, even if I don't use the script, I have a script. I have a script to show people. Look, there's only three pages here.
Yes.
There's three pages. You know, we'll get through this. But
So what we're doing, so there's been some confusion because what we're doing at the Stonewall Rally is more of a civil rights rally than anything else.
Yeah.
So we have people who are going to share their life experience. They're going to talk about what is it like to be my person today in the United States. And then at some point, somebody said, well, if people want to take their signs up to the big red wagon, they can do that and stand with their signs there on Spokane Falls Boulevard.
Right.
Well, then that kind of took on a life on its own that we really don't have a lot. We have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the rally. We hope that people come out, sit down, listen to what all these speakers have to say. And then if you want to walk over to the red wagon with your sign, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah. There's going to be so much stuff going on.
There's going to be so much going on this weekend. So, but the Stonewall Rally is part, it's like adjacent to Pride. We're guest of Pride, I guess is the right way to put it.
Right. Right. And it's just apropos. I mean, I think for the transgender rights thing that happened, the gender march, I think it was, I can't remember.
Yeah, gender freedom march.
Gender freedom march. Yeah. I mean, these are things that, you know, my message was, and it's probably going to be a lot of what I have to say too, is that so many of us are in this thing together. And if you are an honorable person and you value honor and value, I would say, American values and value our Constitution, all those things, you're going to be standing up there with us. You're not going to be opposed to that. You know, the thing is, I'm starting to get kind of those vibes I had during the BLM march a little bit.
Yep.
Because when I was down, I remember going downtown for the BLM march, and I saw these guys getting out of pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And they were kind of dressed like cops, but kind of not. And they had beards and German shepherds. And I was like, who are these guys? And the trucks didn't have any kind of government marking on them or something. So I'm a little bit curious if we're going to start, especially with this latest thing in Los Angeles, if we're going to start seeing those guys come out of the woodwork a little bit more.
Well, you know, that's an excellent question. And it was a concern when I was working on the women's rally back in January. That was one of my biggest concerns. But we barely had any counter protesters.
Yeah.
And I know that Pride was in Coeur d'Alene over this weekend. And from what I heard, there was no commotion. And so, you know, you always have to be ready for the possibility that people are going to show up and disagree with you. In an unkind way, an unkind manner, right? You always have to be ready for that. But I know that Pride spends a fortune on securing the parade route. There are special barricades. There's extra security.
Yeah.
There's clear communication.
Police officers.
There's police officers everywhere. I feel as safe as you can possibly be, possibly feel in this situation. And we also work with PJALS, the Peace and Justice Action League. So they help with de-escalation. They certainly helped me with a person at the women's rally who was just, you know, got a little bent out of shape, a little out of control. And it just helps that you have a designated group of people who can say, okay, ma'am, this is not a good idea. Let's walk with you over here. Why don't we take a little walk and just kind of, let's see if we can figure out why, you know, you're so upset right now.
Right. Listen to them.
I feel like if there's counter-protesters, there's counter-protesters.
Yeah.
I'm past that point where it's not going to deter me from doing anything.
Yeah. And you know, and the thing is, and you're going to be the ally grand marshal.
Yes,
is that
I am.
Right?
Stop
so you're going to ride in a convertible or something. That's what I got to do. I was grand marshal 1 year. I rode in a convertible, which is good because it rained buckets.
I'm laughing because I was so surprised. I was like, no way. You did not do that. And they were just like, no, people voted for you. This is like a nomination thing. And I'm like, oh, stop it. There's got to be somebody else.
Well,
it was just like, no. So here I am. Yes.
you know, and let's talk a little bit about allyship.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you are a good ally for the LGBTQ+ community.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that role? How did you find yourself? hanging out with the rainbow people.
I believe that I have the ability to listen to a person exactly as who they are. And that crosses a multitude of areas, like your race, your color, your gender, your sexual preference, whatever. I really truly believe that that is a gift that I have, that I can see the person for who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think if you are used, I believe if you're used to being marginalized, you can tell.
Yeah.
That I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, what is this, right? I am not. Yeah. And I'm also, I had the most amazing conversation about Two Spirits 2 weeks ago, because I'm not afraid of asking questions.
Right.
I would never ask a personal question. Never, ever. No. Stop. No. I don't want to know. I don't care about what happened. But I will ask, okay, I don't understand the difference between Two Spirit and bi or trans or why is it its own thing? And I had the best conversation because somebody sat down and talked to me and said, okay, this is who I am. This is what it's like.
Yeah.
And I am so dang curious.
Yeah.
I want to know all the things, right? So it's, I think that's one reason. And then I also believe that the LGBTQ plus community has a lot of the same issues as women do. Like the, you know, being marginalized, not being taken seriously, not getting promoted, not being able to do some things in a male-dominated world. Those are exactly the same issues. If you are a trans or a gay or a lesbian or a white woman, it doesn't matter. It's the same issues.
Yeah.
And so I think there's some overlap there, and I think that's why I'm a good fit.
That's good. You know, that curiosity, I think, is key, I think. I mean, also, it's like, mm-hmm. why would you want to exclude people that you might enjoy in your life, you know? That's always my thing about matters of race or anything mm-hmm. else. Like, why would I just exclude somebody? Mm-hmm. This might be a really cool person to get to know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny as far as that curiosity bit, where they're creating laws with very little curiosity or very little mm-hmm. thought behind them. I think it made the news a while back, a trans man in South Carolina. And for those listeners who don't know, a trans man is somebody who was designated as female at birth and then went through hormone treatment and surgery, or maybe not, maybe didn't go through those things, but identify as a male, even though they were assigned female at birth and had female genitalia and all that. Mm. So this trans man who had surgeries because of the law in South Carolina, he was supposed to use the men's restroom. So he's got a beard, he's muscly, and he uses the ladies' restroom. Like the stupid law says that he should, and he got arrested because they don't even understand what they're doing. It's just like, it's all about the hate.
It's all about the hate.
And it's like they have no, they're just dumb.
It's all about the hate. And that was always, I don't know why, but I keep thinking of Matthew Shepard right now.
Yeah.
And I think it's because one of the first interviews I did was actually with his mom.
Oh, wow.
After he was murdered. And I remember, I almost couldn't process the cruelty of what happened to him. I was like, who does that? Why? I mean, I knew why. I talked to his mom. She came out here to do some presentation, very well spoken and all that. But I almost couldn't process the cruelty. And I'm like, where does that hate come from? And you actually said something. We were messaging back and forth or whatever. Because I'm like, why do people hate trans people? What is it? What is that all about? And you said something along the lines of, well, it's because trans people are who they really are.
Yeah.
And the haters look at that and they think, oh, maybe they feel that themselves, or maybe they're afraid of the courage it took to live as who you really are.
Well, I think that if you are a person who follows a liar, and if you, and part of that not only follows a liar, but also decides I am not going to confront myself with the truth because I feel a certain way about things. Yeah. And if I really knew the truth, that's going to make me uncomfortable and I might have to change the way I think about something. And if I have to change the way I think about something, then I might lose my friends. Mm-hmm. I might lose my community. Mm-hmm. So it takes, you have to be courageous sometimes to tell the truth and act on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that trans people who are out are people that basically say, I'm going to tell you a truth about myself and it's going to probably make you like me less.
Yeah.
And make you uncomfortable and it's going to make you question me about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I might cost my familial relationships, all that.
Yeah.
And so if you're a person who enjoys a liar as president, and that's part of why you like him.
I guess you're out of bed in the morning.
then somebody who tells the truth is going to be your enemy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why they really don't like trans people.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I wish I could tell you that, you know, like my dad was a trans man or something, but that's not the case. I really feel like I found my people.
Yeah.
It's
a very kind community.
I really feel like I found my people, which is sort of, I'm the most boring, straight cisgender person you'll ever meet in your life. And it's like, but I really feel like I found my people. And I also know that I can bring something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I can help. I've already done some media trainings and I've done stuff like that. And Pride hired me to do some grant writing, which I've done. And so I have skills that I can apply. And so, you know, in some way I get to live also as more of the person I really am. I don't have to, you know, hold my nose and write another story about something I don't care about. So that's a really good feeling.
Yeah.
And I feel totally welcome too.
It's, you know,
Absolutely,
when people go to Pride, I'd say LGBT folks are outnumbered maybe 10 to 1, maybe.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
I mean, it's just, but there's tens of thousands of people there because they're all nice people.
Yeah.
And everybody's having a really good, kind time. And everybody is super nice and cool. Yeah. And I always think, I'm so glad to be a part of this community, not just the LGBTQ community, but the community of nice people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy to be a part of that community.
Yeah. And I think that's also, I mean, if Matthew was here, he would say, well, that's what Pride is all about.
Yeah.
That's right. Bringing people together.
Oh, we always say that. It's like, it should be called the nice, let's get rid of Pride, just call it the nice person festival.
The nice person place.
But, you know, so we should go back to it's going to be at the Lilac Bowl starting at 3:00 on Saturday.
On Saturday.
The parade starts at noon.
Yes.
And we'll be broadcasting from the corner of Washington and Maine.
Uh-huh.
The parade, and I'll be playing music there. And then from there, right after the parade, all the stuff opens up in the park.
Uh-huh.
So you can go and lots of swag that's given away, lots of entertainment. Yeah.
There's so many vendors. There's vendors all over the place. They're turning the pavilion into the one of the larger beer gardens that we... I should say beverage gardens.
Beverage gardens.
Because, as you probably know, we lost some big national sponsors.
Yeah.
They pulled out because of the whole DEI thing. That came down from the White House, right?
Out of
fear. They were like, no, we're not going to do this. But the local breweries and distilleries just picked up the slack.
And the Episcopal Church.
Oh, yeah. They were just like,
$10,000.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to take care of this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So the pavilion is like going to be the heart of everything. There's going to be a dance party. And I think that's also where the art show is, right?
Oh, yeah. The art show is going to be in that room that I think the main...
Does that open on Friday? I can't remember.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I know there's a schedule of events on Pride's website.
Yeah.
And so it's good if there's something you really want to see, you should go look for that. I also know that there's going to be a Two-Spirit powwow in the park morning.
That's on Friday or Saturday?
It's on Saturday.
Saturday.
I believe
okay.
it's at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
Okay. Okay. Oh,
it could
cool.
be after the parade. I should have looked that up.
See, that's the thing.
See, I should have looked that up.
Well, you're going to be working it too. So you're going to be... So that's part of the thing when you work these things.
Yeah.
That's kind of the, it's fun to be a part of the things, making things happen, but also you miss out on stuff. Like I'd love to go to the Two Spirit powwow. I would love to see that, but I've got to be setting up.
But that's okay. I promised I would help out in sort of the command center, whatever that is. And so that's where I'm going to be. And I'll sneak out once in a while. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And the whole Grand Marshal thing, I don't know. I'm not sure how that happened.
Do you have a sash?
I think there is one. I think there's like a there's something you're supposed to wear. Yeah,
good. Yeah, yeah. You deserve a sash. I've got, how do you think, I was going to ask you, how do you think this is going to end? How do we get out of this? Because I'm really having a hard time, not out of this interview, Pia, but out of this whole political situation, because I just think, you know, how will anybody ever trust our country again? How, if Trump truly did win, and there's some, you know, without Russian interference, you know, calling in bomb threats to polling places, I don't know if he would have won. But the truth of the matter is there shouldn't be even 30% of the population that supports this. And we've just shown the world that we've turned our back on treaties. People think that this whole tariff business and all that is just something that, you know, that is open to negotiation. No, these are treaties that we've negotiated, and you're breaking those treaties now. Mm-hmm. And then you've also are just going out. People should know that in Los Angeles, that it wasn't a riot. It was people protesting that ICE was going to places where to people were working. Mm-hmm. They weren't the bad guys and all that they said that they were going to go after and all that. It was where people were working. Some were U.S. citizens, and they just arrest them because they're brown skinned. Mm-hmm. And that's what people are protesting. Mm-hmm. And when people across the world see this kind of behavior and not see an outrage by us, and if Trump or a Republican runs again for president and he gets in there, we're showing the world that this, we knew this was going to happen. We knew something like this was going to happen with him. Most of us did, but a good percentage of people voted for him anyway. So even if we have like Hague type stuff, we have trials, we get Kristi Noem, you know, all these people are held accountable for their crimes, not only criminally, but also financially, the billionaires. Mm-hmm. We start making them pay to fix mm-hmm. the things that they broke. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's enough for the world to ever trust us again.
Well, you know, it's there's a PR job if you ever wanted one, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the things I've done the most the last half year is trying to, even before that, explain, you know, American politics. I mean, how can someone like that get elected to my family, you know, back in Europe? Because they're like, what is wrong with you people? I mean, can you not see that he's crazy?
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad calls me like every Sunday and was a fairly conservative person. And early on, he was like, oh, well, Trump is going to get elected. That's really going to suck for you, you know, haha. And I was like, Dad, I can't joke about it.
Yeah, you don't know.
Because I live here.
Yeah.
And then we got closer and closer to the election, and my dad listened more and more, and he was like, you guys are nuts. How can he even run for office?
Yeah.
And so two things. Like, somewhere in the Royal Archives in Denmark, there's a piece of paper that was signed by American presidents and by the Danish prime minister and probably by the king. I think it was a king back then. Saying that the United States has a right to have Air Force bases in Greenland, but it can never lay claim on the territory. There's an actual document that was signed by people and dated, and
well,
there's an actual piece of paper.
So, you know, he would honor that because he honors, he's an honorable guy, right?
See, this is where there's like this dichotomy. This is where people are just like, wait a minute. Everything was fine. You've had Air Force bases in Greenland since, what, 52 or something, 47, whatever. Yeah. Everybody was happy. It was not a problem. And suddenly it's like, oh no, I want the country. And so Europe doesn't take that lightly. It's going to be very difficult to repair some of those relationships Or like the German chancellor who was in the White House the other day, or Trump was in Germany, I can't remember. And he says that Trump said to the chancellor, oh yeah, D-Day was a terrible day,
day for you. Yeah.
And everybody in Europe were like, I beg your pardon.
And he said, no, it was a great day for us.
We got rid of the Nazis, right? So it's going to take a very long time. I don't know. It's not going to happen overnight.
Because I mean, like, we could say, oh, we get somebody who's really good in there. Well, that's 4 years.
Well,
and then we just can go back to something crazy again.
But you know, back to what you read about having friends in other countries. You know, the other thing that happens is that the United States could get terribly isolated.
Yeah.
There's already a movement in Europe boycotting American brands. So nobody buys Coca-Cola, nobody buys Nike, nobody buys, you know, the traditional, the American stuff that was always the best stuff, right? I mean, getting your Levi's was like, that was really important because they were better than any
Levi's
other jeans, right?
Yeah.
Now it goes the other way. And Europe is good at that.
Yeah, they are.
We know how to do that.
We know how to, like, Tuesday we're shutting the subways down and striking,
We know how to boycott Tesla. Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Heaven knows. I don't know. Their sales went down by like 50% or something. It was crazy in some countries. And so if you add that to tariffs, to insane behavior in other places, this country could end up being quite isolated. Yeah. And that's scary.
It is.
That is frightening because then you have no other input than
what
you hear.
North Korea.
Yeah. Let's hope not. Okay, come on.
I mean,
let's hope not.
In North Korea with country music.
I mean, because other countries, businesses are going to be like, no, we cannot deal with the United States because it's too unstable. It's not stable.
Yeah,
as a
people
business,
want stability. You can't.
Well, but as a business, why would you get in bed with that? You don't want to.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know, oh, we're going to move manufacturing back here. And then you do crazy stuff. You have a tariff one day, take it off the next.
Yeah.
It's like, what business is going to say, gosh, I think I'll build a factory here.
Yeah, let's
you know, I mean, that's not even, again, it's not the point.
No sense.
It's the cruelty is the point, you know?
Is.
And also I think it's distraction too. I think like
it
this,
is distraction.
This Los Angeles, sending in, the National Guard and the Marines just is on the tail, just on the tail of, Jeffrey Epstein, and there's pictures of Trump with prepubescent or girls with on his lap topless, you know? I mean,
they all ran in the same circles.
Yeah. And it's
everybody knows.
Right.
That.
And it's just big. And I don't know why he just doesn't show the pictures himself because it wouldn't cost him one of his voters. Not one of them. Not one fundamentalist Christian
That's
would
true.
Say, gosh, I can't vote for him now.
No.
I mean, nobody, if you are in this deep, there is no getting out at this point.
That's true.
So,
but he also knows that he can get away with lying.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that he can get away with lying. He can get away with going to court over and over again, charged with this, that, and the other thing. And it just all kind of Teflon Don, right? It just peels right off.
Yep.
So I don't know. I'm grateful for my dual citizenship, and I'm grateful for my extra passport in a different color.
Yeah.
And I also am very committed to this community because people ask me all the time, what are you doing here? Move home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, my adult life has been here in this place in Spokane. The love of my life is here. My son is in California. I don't run.
Glad you're here. We're glad you're here.
I don't want to run.
Yeah.
And there are mornings where I'm like, yeah, what am I doing here? I mean, what is this? I mean, why?
I'm grateful that I'm 65 years old now.
Yeah.
Because I kind of feel like, you know, we all need kind of like an end chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what this is, then that's what this is. I don't want to be morose about it.
No.
But it's like, you know, I took an oath years and years ago to uphold the Constitution and you know, that may be what happens, you know.
But I also think that at some point, it's difficult some days, but I still believe in the political system, right? I still believe that, you know, when the founding fathers copied the system in France and created three branches of government, they did a pretty good, that's a pretty smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, I'm not saying I'm going to have this forever, but I still have faith that that system will work. It may not work right now. It's going to take a long time to self-correct, but I still have faith that, you know, as my partner always says, the Republic will survive, you know. We'll get out on the other side, but it's going to take some time. Somebody has to rise to the challenge.
It
can't just be grassroots, you know.
No.
I mean, heaven loves all the grassroots people, absolutely. But somebody is going to have to rise to the challenge at some point.
And we're also going to have to figure out a way to get people to know that their decisions really have an impact on their lives and on their children's lives. And it may be fun to make the libtards angry. But at the same time, it's like you're punching yourself in the face, and that upsets the libtards too.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Especially if you have kids.
Oh, yeah. If you have kids, right?
I mean, the world that, you know, from an environmental standpoint or whatever, it's when if all the environmental regulations go away, I mean, what world are we going to give to our kids? And I know people are saying, oh, it's not going to be that bad. And I'm like,
It can be.
I just heard that there's now, where was that? Out here in one of the outlying counties, they don't have any paid firefighters anymore. They're all volunteer. Like a whole county.
Yeah.
It's Ferry County, I think. And they are now facing, you know, another wildfire season.
Yeah. Yeah. And good luck with that.
You're asking volunteers to go out there and risk their lives, you know, fighting these fires, doing these things because, oh no, we laid off all the other people.
Right. You're a volunteer and your house is burning down. Your house is burning down.
Yeah. Too bad. So,
yeah. And, you know, and good luck getting produce this year too. Okay. all that stuff. So
we have to end on a high note.
Yes. Let's end. So we have the Pride Festival coming up this weekend, Saturday, and it's get down there at noon for the parade. Yeah. We'll be broadcast 1 o'clock. Wander into the park, have a good time there, and then 3 o'clock head over to the Lilac Bowl in the park for the rally.
Yeah.
And that'll be an hour. And then after that, go back to having fun. Does that sound good?
There's going to be dance parties and everything. Yeah. And don't forget that there's a drag brunch on Sunday.
Okay.
At the Grand.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thanks, Pia, so much for being here.
This was lovely.
I agree. I agree. And we'll do this more.
Yeah.
And everybody who's tuned in here, you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake, Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Thanks for listening.
Let's have a show of hands. How many of you voted to hand all of your most personal data to Trump's intrusive government? By all, I mean he is setting up one Silicon Valley data aggregator to collect, store, and control your Social Security number, bank codes, health records, tax filings, voting history, biometrics, and, well, the whole statistical you. This aggregator will vacuum up all these unconnected data points and reconstruct them into a full computerized profile of your life, behavior, and beliefs. This mass surveillance infrastructure is not some 1984s fiction, but a fast-moving reality spun from Trump's Project 2025. In an executive order quietly issued in March, he decreed that every federal agency must dump our personal data into a new centralized computer system, effectively creating government dossiers on each of us. Like every tyrant everywhere, Trump says his order is benign, merely, quote, streamlining data searches to increase government efficiency. But this is no paper-shuffling decree, for Project 2025 operatives have already moved into the IRS, ICE, Social Security, the Pentagon, etc., putting the technology in place to aggregate the master file. Trump has, with no public input, already appointed a right-wing high-tech data espionage outfit to be America's surveillance overlord. Named Palantir, it was created and financed by Peter Thiel, a Silicon Valley Republican billionaire, anti-democracy crusader, and self-absorbed plutocrat. Palantir bluntly declares that its role is, quote, the finding of hidden things. This is Jim Hightower saying, you think you have nothing to hide, right? But tyrants can find something on everyone. To help stop this weaponizing of ourselves against ourselves, go to Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
This is Mike.
And this is Argel.
And you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We didn't need the National Guard. Why on earth? What are they going to do? Do you know what the National Guard is doing now? They are guarding two buildings. They're guarding the federal building here in downtown, and they're guarding the federal building in Westwood. That's what they're doing.